Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Surprise Jab Podcast. I'm your host, Zach Ruger, surprising you with new topics every single week and jabbing you with your daily dose of UFC. We are back for the second annual Stanley Cup Playoffs Predictions Podcast. And last year, we were joined by the great Cole Walker and Jane Watson, and we have one of them return today, along with two new guests and one familiar face who we do know. We have Jaden Watson returning, Ryan Neihardt, and new on the podcast, Garrett Swanson. Gentlemen, how are we feeling today?
Feeling pretty good, Ruger. What about you?
Feeling great. Ryan, Garrett, doing well?
Yes, feeling very good. Excited for this playoff prediction that we're doing.
Nice.
Yeah, yes. Happy to be here.
Yeah, it should be a good one. You know, these are the hockey experts out of all the Mankato boys that I know. You know, me, I specialize in MMA, as we all know, but for them, it's all about the hockey. And gentlemen, how was this hockey season overall? What would you say?
It was great.
Yeah.
A lot of surprises, a lot of records broken, some excitement, some goalie goals. It was great. I loved it.
Yeah, I agree with that. Four Nations really put NHL on the map this year. Definitely got a lot more traction after the Four Nations, just for the casual fans to see what it's all about. So I hope a lot of them tune in for playoffs.
Yeah, I thought it was a really good season. A lot more eyes on the game now than there were before the season, so I categorize that as a success for the league.
I would say so. I mean, if more people are watching, that would indicate something is going well. But on today's episode, guys, we will be going through and giving our predictions for every single matchup for the playoffs, and as well, we'll be talking about who we think will be winning four of the major trophies. Maybe I'm missing some, but we have the Hart Memorial, which is the MVP. We have the VZINA one.
The Vezina.
Not the Vezina. And that's goaltender?
Yes.
I know, ball. And then we have Calder, rookie.
Yes, sir.
Huh? And James Norris, defenseman.
Yes, sir.
Absolutely. We could care less about coaches, right, fellas?
Yeah, I think that one's pretty locked anyway, though.
Carberry. Oh, you flatter me. But yes, gentlemen, what I will say before we start, what do you think gives you credibility to speak on the NHL?
It's the only thing that I watch. I don't watch TV, I watch hockey.
Yeah, pretty much same. I mean, we've all studied the game since we've been playing. All have been paying attention to it, watching it, so we feel like we know what we're talking about. With a little grain of salt added in there.
Yeah, hockey's...
And some bias.
Yeah.
Lots of bias. But, hockey's the only thing I've ever known since I was, like, four.
Yeah.
So, family kind of got me into it. They got history in it, so pretty much everything I've ever known.
Yeah. We're all surrounded by it from day one, so...
I mean, that's enough for me. I'm trusting you guys with all hockey knowledge. Well, I'm definitely persuaded by that. But, gentlemen, I mean, let's not waste any time. Let's get the people what they want. So, kicking off, we will go with the James Norris Trophy. Now, I'm not too big on who the top defenders are in the league, but who is going to win Defenseman of the League for the NHL this season?
Cale Makar, definitely. I think he wrapped that up.
Who plays on?
Colorado Avalanche. Superstar defenseman. Arguably the best of all time if he keeps up this pace. I think he wrapped that up about 20 games ago, though.
Yeah, 92 points, 30 goals as a defenseman is crazy. So, I mean, it's going to be between him, Werenski, and Hughes. But I think Cale Makar took it with 30 goals. Voters seem to like that.
Yeah. Honestly, on a per-game basis, I think, and injuries have some to do with it, I think Quinn Hughes was better. But he just kept getting hurt, wasn't available for the whole year. And what do we always say? The best ability is availability. So, and Cale Makar did have a crazy year. 30 goals, 62 assists, 92 points in 80 games as a defenseman is insane.
Last time that happened was 16 years ago, Mike Green. So that's quite the milestone for Mr. Makar there.
That's pretty huge.
Wow. Yeah. Very exciting.
Raps.
And how long has this guy been in the league for? Is he...
2019 rookie?
Yeah, I believe so. I think he got drafted 2018 and played the 2019-20 season.
So About 7-6 years in, winning 6-4 years in, something like that, 6-5 years in.
Yeah, I think this will be his, if he wins it, I think it'll be his second Norris Trophy.
Ooh, really? So he's good.
Yeah, yeah. And he's only 25, so he's just getting into his prime, so yeah. Many more to come.
He's 26.
26?
Yeah.
Mm. Also a Stanley Cup Championship MVP Conn Smythe Trophy, so he's got... He's got the hardware.
Was it the Panthers who won last year's Stanley Cup?
Yeah.
Okay, I couldn't remember. But anyways, we'll move on from the defenseman. You know, very underrated position, I would say, right? Would you say defensemen are underrated? Or?
Yeah. Yeah. They don't get nearly enough MVP consideration. I think Quinn Hughes should be in it, or he should have been in it if he was healthy. Makar should probably be in it, but
yeah,
it seems like it's a forward award.
Yeah. All right. So unanimous, James... No, Cale Makar to win the James Norris.
Yeah.
Yes.
All righty. We'll jot that down so when you're all wrong, I can laugh at you.
Okay.
So,
oh, yeah.
Yeah, we'll see.
Moving on to the Calder Trophy. Who was the rookie of the year in the NHL?
Garrett, go ahead. Who you got?
So, lots of good options. Dustin Wolf had a crazy year. He plays for the Calgary Flames. Goalie.
Dustin Wolf.
Almost carried him to the playoffs. Keywords almost because the Wild are there instead.
Cha-ching!
Still
applause right there.
Yeah, Mackenzie, first overall pick. Last year, he had a really good year on the Sharks, who were, again, terrible. But I think the person who's going to win it and who should win it is defenseman Lane Hutson. Montreal Canadiens.
Lane Hutson. I've seen his name float around.
The mouse himself.
Yeah, I believe he tied the record for the most assists by a rookie defenseman in NHL history, tied with legend Larry Murphy.
Yeah.
So, great years from a lot of rookies. I want to shout out Matvei Michkov, too. He had a good year.
He might not even get nominated for it if Dustin Wolf might take his spot.
I think he will.
And then Celebrini gets the other one.
Yeah, I think the three will be Hudson, Celebrini, Wolf.
Yeah.
I think that's all.
Michkov won't even be there, and he had 60 points.
Yeah.
It's crazy work.
I think I saw a stat earlier today said Lane Hutson has 1 point less than Bedard, who won the Rookie of the Year last year. Bedard's a forward, so I think that puts a good case towards Lane Hutson winning it.
I agree. Lane Hutson.
Wow, so just another unanimous. It's obvious.
Yeah.
Now, with that, does that speak that Connor Bedard wasn't as good of a rookie of the year, or just that Lane Hutson has had an exceptional year?
Lane Hutson had a little more to work with compared to Bedard. Bedard didn't have much for line mates, where Hutson had some skilled forwards to pass it up to.
Yeah, but Bedard really hasn't done much, especially in the fantasy department.
No, sir.
No.
Absolutely brutal.
He's taking a minute. I think he just needs to get bigger.
And the
Blackhawks stink.
Yeah.
So once the...
Don't stink.
Yeah, once their prospects and young guys start hitting their stride, they maybe get a couple free agents. Dart has consistent line mates to play with. He'll be just fine.
Yeah, I was thinking like LaMelo Ball almost. He is super talented, and yet his team. Like, can you name another Hornets player?
Is Kemba Walker still in the Hornets?
That was over a decade ago, so.
Exactly. Yeah,
pretty similar with the Blackhawks. Well, moving on to the Vezina Trophy. That's right, for the goaltenders. Who was the best goalie this year in the NHL?
I think you're pretty familiar with him.
Yeah, I think you are too.
Am I familiar?
Carried you to a fantasy hockey championship appearance.
Second place.
You know it. Not yet. Not yet.
That is true. I can't get to that.
Gonna go to the man on the team I said was going to be like seventh in the Central this year, and instead they won the President's Trophy.
Yeah.
I did say if they were going to be good, Hellebuck would carry it, I think. So I wasn't wrong there.
Yeah, which he did. I mean, the Jets are good, but they live and die with Connor Hellebuck.
Yeah, they do. Completely. And he had a year. 2 goals against.
Hey, you can't beat that.
2 goals against average.
Wins, 12 losses is insane.
Yeah. Just can't beat him.
So all trophies are just wraps so far. I mean, Connor Hellebuck to win the Vezina.
Yeah.
I love
that one.
That
shouldn't be a debate.
That's fantastic. And now we get to the one everyone actually cares about, which is the MVP of the league, the Hart Trophy. So, Hart Memorial Trophy?
Yep.
Yes, sir.
In memoriam of Hart?
Somebody Hart. I don't remember his first name, but yeah, Hart.
Well, who's winning MVP? Who's the best player? See,
this one is not as unanimous.
No.
There's a lot of cases for a lot of players, a lot of great players.
Yeah.
Well, Kucherov
up at the top. I would say he's nomination number one. 121 points in 77 games played. He is playing with insane line mates, but so are the top 3 point scorers of the year.
Yeah.
So it's pretty close, but I lean towards Kucherov just because he's got those points. He's got those 5 extra points than McKinnon. He's got 10 extra points on Draisaitl, so
I think Kucherov will be a nominee. I think McKinnon will be a nominee, and I think Pasta should be a nominee. He had 106 points, and the next closest on his team was Morgan Geeky with 57. And if it's truly most valuable to your team, it has to be Pasta, because without him, the Bruins would be dead last in the NHL. I know they were last in the East this year, but like he put up 106 points on the worst team in the East.
Mm.
I mean, that's valuable to your team, worthy to me. He should at least be a nominee.
Yeah, I would agree. He won't be a nominee, which kind of sucks, but he had a crazy season, especially with the lack of help that he had.
He's going to go to Draisaitl instead.
Yeah, in my personal opinion, I think it should be Nikita Kucherov and then Leon Draisaitl.
Kucherov too.
Just what Kucherov has done this year, and yeah, I mean, he plays with Braden Point, Gensel, a lot of really good players. But
he's so good.
Yeah, it's every year he's just
he drives play.
Just absolutely snapping it.
Nice.
Yeah.
Wanna shout out Kirill Kaprizov. I think he would have won it had he played a full game.
Oh yeah.
Should have.
He was on an absolute heater. And when he went down, the Wild just started stinking it up. So, we're talking most valuable to their team.
Get that man in there.
Yeah, it's hard to not argue for Kirill Kaprizov. But
damn.
At the end of the day, I think it will be Leon Draisaitl, who I don't think it should be him, but he did have a really good year. 52 goals, 54 assists, 106 points in 71 games, with McDavid missing a little bit of time as well. Yeah, he's just solid all year. All
right. So, got a lot of good players this year. It was fun. And when do they announce those trophies? Is that coming up?
That'll be after the playoffs.
Oh, really?
At some point.
Or they started doing them during the playoffs, didn't they? Did they start releasing it, like, during the conference finals? Or at least who the nominees were?
Maybe, yeah.
I feel like they at least released the names, but...
Just a quick
there's
side.
Usually an award ceremony.
Just a quick side note, Draisaitl is going to win the Rocket Richard, which is the most goals in the NHL season, so that definitely adds to his MVP case.
Art Ross just adds to Kucherov's for most points in the league.
Yeah.
Art Ross trophy.
Yeah, and I think I saw a stat. It was talked about 80-plus assist seasons and who's done it. I think the company was like Wayne Gretzky, Lemieux, and some other absolute legend,
that.
So it's decent company.
Yeah.
I suppose.
Yeah, he had a good year. Really good year.
Good stuff. A lot of good players out there. But, you know, I was going to jump right on into our NHL playoff predictions, but we all know this is not the predictable podcast. This is a surprise Jab podcast, and I want you all to get your sheets out, because we got a little blind rank for you gentlemen on today's episode, and you know, we could have gone obvious with NHL players. We could have gone with, you know, NHL teams. But today we have favorite things to do when you're with the boys. So we got top 10 things to do when you're with the boys. That is right. That's right. You're gonna. No one knows how blind rank works. You should know every time we have a guest. I'm going to list out 10 things in a row. And they're going to list them in right as I say them on a list. And they will see how it looks at the very end. So, are we ready, gentlemen?
Yes, sir.
Alrighty. So the first thing for our blind rank of things to do with the boys is gaming. Remember that? We used to game together back in the day.
That's a tough one. Are we talking like right now, or is this nostalgia?
I mean, it could be whenever. Like, this is just things to
crime
do.
Crime Fortnite or Crime Chow?
I think just in general, just things to do with the boys. Where do you rank it? It's like all-time top 10 things,
so it's
right?
All-time.
All-time top 10 things to do with the boys.
These are like pretty much top 10.
Are we saying our like where we're putting it right away? Or
yes.
Okay. I got it at 4. That's a top 5 event, and I feel like there's some other good ones in here.
Yeah, I was thinking 4 or 5. I don't know what else he's got.
I put it lower just because of the lack of gaming recently. It hasn't been in Roto as much, so.
Yeah, I also put it at 4. It could easily be top 2 if it was still an everyday activity, but it's not.
Yep. So, but it's definitely a top 5 like thing to do with the fellas.
Yeah.
On games. So.
Well, Garrett, where'd you place it?
You guys convinced me I put it at 4 as well.
Okay.
Between 4 or 5. So
very nice. Very nice. Next up on the blind rank, we have going out to eat, getting some food with the boys, you know? Grabbing a meal.
Are drinks involved or just
food? Nope, just food.
Just food.
Just grabbing some lunch. Where's that going to land? Good times. Just going out, grabbing. We got to do more of that before we're gone.
I put that one at 8 just because.
Yep. Same.
It's not because I don't like doing it. It's just I feel like you got this list pretty stacked.
Yeah.
We might.
I feel like that's just a bottom 5 item. It's a fun experience. It doesn't happen often, but I think that'll be something that climbs the ranks as I don't see the boys as much and we go out for lunch.
Yeah, I put it at 7. I think it's pretty fun to go out and get food with the boys, especially if you're going to watch a game or something. But yeah, it could have easily gone an 8 for me as well.
Yeah, I'm with you. You know, it's fun, and then you check the bank account, you're like, wait a second, I just spent $20 on chicken tenders?
Exactly.
How'd that happen? Well, coming in next, we have lifting. Getting a lift with your boys. Come on, who doesn't love that?
Getting a lift with the boys?
That's pretty elite.
I'm going to throw that at 5. I feel like there's still 3 more in here that can crack my top 3.
There could be.
And it's a top 5 thing.
Yeah, I was debating putting it at 3, but I just can't put it above just prime Xbox, prime like middle school, high school back in the day.
Yeah, I can't.
Yeah, I also put it at 5, you know, for the same reasons. I feel like we're all on the same wavelength here.
Yeah, you don't say, literally on the same wavelength.
Outstanding activity, though.
Yeah, yeah. Very fun. Next up on the list, we have working a job with your boy. Working with job with the boys, it makes the job go by much smoother.
What kind of job?
Any job. Professional job. Chill job.
I got it at 7. I've had some fun working with the fellas. I think all time is working concrete with Will. It was just an experience. It was so fun. Him and all the other fellas, and then obviously the fair is always good.
I put
that at 9 just because I did really enjoy it, like working at Menards with you and the fellas. That was really fun. But do I like doing that more than getting food with the fellas?
No.
I just don't think so.
I had a lot of good experiences working with Will, and they're like I worked with friends a lot, so like I always thought it was a super fun thing to do. Like if I have the chance to work with friends, like I'll do it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I have it at 9. It's always better to work with buddies than not, but I just think there's other things on this list that don't require other obligations.
Yeah.
So.
Alrighty. I like it. Well, let's spice things up. Running a 2-man with your buddy.
2-man, eh?
Make it a 3-man if you got a trio. Always a fun one. Always enjoys ones like that.
I got 2-man at 6. I can't put that above gaming and lifting with the boys. Like, that's prime.
I just haven't gone on enough of them.
Yeah.
But
I also got it at 6 just because there's probably more things coming up that are better than.
Son of a gun. Let's put up binders between our papers so we're not all getting the same.
I don't.
This
I
is incredible.
I'm not cheating on nobody's.
Yeah, we're all writing this down before.
All right.
But
I haven't changed any of my answers either.
No, like, let's keep it moving. How about watching a sports game with all the boys?
what kind of sports game? Like playoffs, regular season?
That, any that, sports any, game.
That, and so that changes, though.
It this makes isn't... It makes it a top three for me, just the fact that watching cup finals with the boys at the bar, games at the bar, watching Super Bowl and living in a big food spread, like that's a top three moment.
I would agree, and I have that one exactly at three. Yep. I'm not sure where you had yours.
Three.
Oh, three.
I got that at two, just because I thought that was probably one of the best ones that we've heard so far, and I don't know what to expect coming up. So. Mm-hmm.
I'm hoping for beers. Beers better be in this list.
Yeah. I think I'd have it a little bit higher if I turned 21 long ago and I could drink at more of these events.
Yeah. Fair. I don't know. We'll see if drinking's involved. I don't know. But next up, we have having a class together.
Ooh.
Having a class with your boys. Come on. We didn't love that.
I put that one right at seven because I can't put that top two, but... I did have some very fun classes with the boys.
Mm.
Remember that computer
Bullocks.
Lab? Yeah, Bullocks
class. Yeah, that was a good class.
And then there's that live stream that was going on.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. Classes with the fellas I got at nine. It wasn't a top two thing, and this would be one that I would maybe switch out with my job at seven. Class with the boys is definitely better than job with
definitely
the boys, so
nine. I got that at eight. That's good interchange with job at nine because you know, it's always better to do something like that with the boys, but it also requires other obligations, so
very much so. And this is where things get interesting. We have three left. Next up is playing sports with the boys,
like organized.
Whether organized or just out in the backyard, you're playing sports with the boys.
All right.
I got that one at number one.
Number one.
Yeah, nothing beats the good old days of organized sports with the boys.
Yeah, just year after year, that's all my best memories are from sports.
Yeah, hard to top that.
Yeah, pretty self-explanatory there, I would say.
I'm with you, so nothing beats it, right, Jaden?
No, sir.
Well, next up on the list is drinking with the boys.
And drinking falls at two right away. Yes. What a list I got here. This is almost perfect. All depends on that bottom half. Obviously, drinking with the boys.
Yeah.
Maybe undefeated. Maybe undefeated.
Only one left.
Only by playing sports with the boys.
Yeah, I got that at three. It's also a very... activity to do. Can't go wrong.
Yeah, I was gonna do drinking last, totally, but I knew it was gonna screw everyone. So, final thing, I assume it's at the bottom of everyone's list, driving around with the boys.
Yeah, last on the list. Doesn't happen. I don't think I've ever been like, hey, fellas, let's go drive around.
Yeah,
just not one of the activities I fall under.
That's a high school, as soon as you turn 16, just got your license.
Nothing else to do in town because you don't have money to go do it.
Yeah, and there's go nothing
around
to do in
Let's
your
go
town.
Go walk around Target. Yeah. I guess we did that a little bit back in the day, but number 10.
Walk around Target gotta be, I don't know how I would do that, like every single day after class.
Hey, don't knock until you try it.
I'd be surprised.
All right, well, how's everyone's list? What do we think?
I am very satisfied with my list.
Yeah. Same. I don't know if I would change it, honestly.
Absolutely. I think I'd change one thing, but other than that,
I didn't. No.
I would just swap my 7 and my 9. Otherwise, it's perfect.
Yeah, I would move getting food above having class with the boys, just because you're still in class.
That's what you're saying.
I've had a lot of fun classes with the boys still, where it's like not even bad.
Yeah, but
like even right now in college, like all my classes are just like classes with the boys, so it doesn't even feel like class. Yeah. We're just hanging out.
I'm just remembering like
construction.
Remember like getting canes with all the boys.
Yeah. That was good.
Canes? Were you driving all the way to Maplewood?
Blaine.
No, Blaine.
Yeah.
Blaine. Oh, there's one in Blaine. I forgot about that.
Yes, sir.
Oh, you can just shoot up 35 on that, can't you?
Yeah, it's like what, 20 minutes?
Yeah, 25 maybe.
That's not too bad, you know. Nice little quick quick shot up the freeway, and just like that, we're quick shooting into our next and final category of the episode, and that is our official Stanley Cup playoff predictions. And I'm going to start us in the Eastern Conference, gentlemen. We're saving the West just for a tad, but we're going to start with the first round of the playoffs. We're heading to the top, the Toronto Maple Leafs and the Ottawa Senators. Now, before I'm actually going to say this before I start speaking, are all the matchups locked in?
They are all locked.
That is stupendous, because last year, me, Walker, and Jaden to my right here, we all made predictions for the playoffs, and little did we know the Golden Knights did not play the team we thought they were going to play. And it screwed everyone's bracket. So this year,
I just want to say I did suggest that we should wait, but you were pressing on schedule.
There has to be a reason for that. I do want to say there's
no... You were pressing on schedule. That was it.
I think your sister was coming down. All right, so Maple Leafs and Senators, let's get it going. Maple Leafs, top team in the East, second best team in the East, 106 points as of right now, over 50 wins. As for the Senators, 95 points as of right now, and 44 wins for them, not too bad. What are we thinking?
I think this is going to be one of the better series in the East for sure. They both kind of counter each other's game. Ottawa, big hitting, fast, dump and chase, grind the corners type of team. Toronto is just very skilled, get the puck on net, dance around the O-zone a little bit. So I think this one might go 7, definitely 6 in my opinion, just because they can expose each other's weaknesses pretty easily, I think.
You know, I agree with you. I think it favors Toronto more, obviously. They're the better team of the two. I do like the look of Senators' lineup right now. I like Dylan Cousins as a 2C, and Stutzel's gross. And I'm excited to watch Brady Tkachuk in playoffs. And I think they'll be able to take 2 games at home, but otherwise, I think Toronto takes this one in 6. I don't think it goes 7, like you said.
Yeah, I would lean towards that as well.
Yeah, I think this series is going to be absolutely sick. I cannot wait for Brady Tkachuk to run around like an absolute psycho.
Oh, yeah.
I'd really like their forwards. I think they're a little thin on the experience, but you can also say that about Toronto because, yeah, they've played a lot of playoff hockey together, but it's one and done most years. I think Stutzel's sick. I like their defense. I like Sanderson and Shabbat. But after that, I'm not huge on a lot of them. I think Nick Jensen's a good player.
Artem Zub's not bad.
Yeah, that's true. I didn't realize Zub wasn't in the lineup.
Yeah, you know? He was just resting.
A lot of this one for Otto, I think, depends on Allmark as well. He can be very shaky, but he also can be very good. So when he was in the playoffs last year with Boston, I believe, so he has that really good experience, but we'll see what his confidence has to say.
Yeah, I think one player that's being heavily underrated going into this series is another goaltender, but he's on the Toronto Maple Leafs, Anthony Stolarz. I don't know if you guys have seen his stats.
No, I did. He was really good this year.
Yeah, he's got a 2.14 goals against average, a .926 save percentage, and his record is 21-8-3.
Yeah,
that is insanely good.
He was really good this year. I think he'll be able to steal a game or two if Toronto's not playing up to par or they're just getting beat down by Ottawa. But
this also could be the year Toronto just says F it and goes all the way.
Yeah.
Just because they've been messing around the past 3 years, gotten to the second round, I think, once. That lineup is very dangerous. If it catches fire, it can take them along.
I think this is the best their decor has looked in the playoffs. I like Brandon Carlo add. I think Jake McCabe is a steal at $2 million.
Yeah.
Tanev's pretty good. He's going to eat pucks all playoffs. And Riley's not an ideal number one, but I think their defense is overall pretty solid. And obviously their offense is stacked, so.
Yeah.
I like Toronto this year, but they are going to run into a tough second matchup here.
Yeah, I do think this is the best Toronto team in the Matthew or the Core 4 era.
Yeah.
Their forwards are really good. I'd like Scott Laughton on the fourth line. I think they might have given a little too much up to get him at the deadline, but that's neither here nor there.
Costa winning.
Yeah, their defense, I really like the depth. 1 through 6, those are all like very good NHL players. But like you said, they don't have a true number one. And Morgan Riley's arguably been one of their worst defensemen this year. He has not had a great year, but I really like Tanev and Carlo on the right side. I really like Ekman-Larsson and McCabe on the left side. I think Toronto is just, on paper, the deeper team. They're the better team. And that's who I've got.
Toronto, Maple Leafs all around.
Toronto in 6.
I also had Toronto in 6.
Yeah.
I have Toronto in 5 because I want to be different. And because I like that one guy. What's his name? Auston Matthews.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, hopefully he can actually go on a run this year. I want to see Matthews go on a run.
Player to watch for this series is definitely Brady Tkachuk, though. He's going to be running around like a madman.
Yeah.
Okay.
Very excited to see what he's got in store.
I think X Factor on the Leafs, Matty Knives.
Yep. I think he'll be Brady Tkachuk light with more offense to him.
More offense?
Than Brady Tkachuk. I mean, he's playing with Matthews and Marner, so.
Yeah, but
the offense is just going to come from that.
I mean, yeah, but I think Brady Tkachuk is still better offensively.
Well, I know, but I'm saying, like, I think Brady Tkachuk's just going to be running around physical.
Oh, yeah. I mean, raw offensive numbers. Like,
between the two. Between the two, Knives is going to have more offense than Tkachuk, and Tkachuk's going to have more hits than Knives, is what I'm saying.
I mean, yeah, raw numbers, but I think Tkachuk will drive more offense. Might not all fall in, but...
He'll probably drive it, yeah, but Knives is playing with Matthews and Marner, so he doesn't really have to drive it. He'll just be there.
That is true. Goals,
easy apples from forechecking.
Yeah, built for the playoffs, too. Just an absolute brick.
Just a unit. Out there. He's playing himself into $7 or $8 million a year.
Yeah.
This upcoming.
If he can have a good playoff here, definitely.
Mm. Excellent. Leafs advancing to the quarterfinals, I think it is.
What's called? Second round. They just go by second, first round.
First, usually. Second.
So, I think it's technically the conference semifinals.
Yeah.
Well, next matchup. Insane first round matchup. The Tampa Bay Lightning and the Florida Panthers. Lightning getting over 100 points. As for the Panthers, did they get over? They, 98. So they win tonight. They could get over 100.
This is going to be a very good matchup. I'm really excited for this one.
This is always a classic.
Panthers have, first of all, obviously two Florida teams, so it's going to be a big rivalry. Panthers do have Matthew Tkachuk out. On LTIR. I don't know when he's coming back, but I don't think it is for the first round.
No, Paul Maurice said that everyone's playing.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, except Ekblad, but he's sussied for another. I think he'll be back either game 2 or 3.
Interesting. Okay. Well, they must have given Tkachuk the Russian gas to get back on the train, but that definitely shapes my bracket a little differently.
God, this is a tough one. This is always a good series. Battle of Florida. How can you not love it? I think both teams are stacked. The Lightning are hot right now. Vasilevsky is feeling it. Kucherov is feeling it. Brandon Hagel's a playoff menace. Gensel's a playoff menace like he was in Pittsburgh. All he does is score goals. And Florida's just so deep, though. They've got that experience all these past 2 years, going to the Cup Finals, winning it last year. If they get Tkachuk back early, like I think they will, and Ekblad's back in game 2, I think they're still just so deep, and Bobrovsky just turns it on in playoffs. I think this goes to the Panthers in 7, but that could also go the complete opposite way and go to Tampa in 7. I mean, this is as close as it gets for me.
I got Tampa in 7. I think Kucherov is just going to absolutely take over, same with Vasilevsky. But that could also happen on the other side with Tkachuk and Bobrovsky just as easily. But I don't know. I feel Tampa in this one for some reason.
Yeah, I also have Tampa in 7. I think on paper, both of these teams are So what I think it's going to come down to is Florida has been banged up for the last long time. Kachuk hasn't played since Four Nations. Marchand hasn't had many games with Florida since getting traded. Reinhart was out for a little bit. Barkov's been banged up. Aaron Ekblad hasn't played in 20-ish games. So, and with the series where the margins are this small and the team that they're playing against is so good, I think it's going to lean in Tampa's favor, because aside from Bjorkstrand going out,
that's a tough week to week, loss.
That is a tough loss. I like his game. But Point's been in, Kucherov's been in, Gensel's been in, Cirelli, Yanni Gord, Hagel, and this is essentially the same exact core that they won the Cups with. They even traded for Ryan McDonagh again, which I love that.
Mm-hmm. I do too.
We got hopefully playoff Bassey coming back, and sucks that this is a first round matchup. This honestly should be a conference final matchup. But I think that in the end, Tampa takes it in seven, but this could easily go either way.
Yeah, I totally agree.
I'm with you. Tampa Bay in seven. Jane, did you go with the Panthers?
I went with the Panthers,
yeah. We'll have to remember that when we get to our second round prediction.
Yes, we will.
Everyone but J-Man's got Tampa Bay. Moving on down, which I've now just realized they do the playoffs by division. I am just now realizing that. That's very helpful for looking at the stats. You got the Capitals. Were they the second best team in the league? 111th, third best team?
Second best
team. They're freaking good. They take on the Montreal Canadiens, who I don't see in the Metropolitan Division.
Nope, they're in the Atlantic. It's by so wild. It's you got to look at the wild card.
With the wild cards, it can be
I see.
The top. So it's the top three teams from either division, and then the two best teams just from the Eastern Conference that aren't in the top three divisional spots.
Okay, so sense. Canadians, they sneak in as like the final seed. And
Yep, they got in last night.
Well, I mean, I'll just go right off the bat. I'm going with the Capitals in four, just because why not? So we'll
this
get
is
the
first round sweep.
We'll get the what do you call someone who's not an expert? The amateurs.
Amateur.
We'll get the amateurs' opinion out the bat.
Yeah, this is tough to gauge how many games this one's gonna go. With Demidov hopping in there, I think he's going to add something to Montreal that you can't really measure yet because he's only played two games, but he's obviously been a difference maker in those games. But I think Washington's going to take care of him. I mean, they're just a deep, big team built for playoff hockey and got better adding in Ryan Leonard at the end of the year. So I'm going to go Washington and six games. I think Montreal can win two at the Bell Center, but after that, I think Washington's got it wrapped up.
Nice. Yeah, I would take I'm taking Washington in five, potentially six, just because of the same reason you mentioned. Washington is a very, very deep team, very good, very big, built for the playoffs, absolutely. Yeah, they're just very good. I think Montreal, they might come out buzzing for one or two games and maybe light Washington up just because they're not really expecting it and sneak one or two games. But, yeah, I've got Washington in six here. It's just they're just too deep for Montreal. And Montreal's very
very young.
Very young, yep.
Yeah, I also have Washington in six. It might be coming off of a bit of a hangover from the Ovechkin goal chase, but like Tom Wilson, the Canadians don't have someone to respond to him. I mean, I guess Arbor Jack guy, but I don't even know if he's been in the lineup. I'm sure they'll throw him in at some point, but I think Ryan Leonard is going to be an absolute nail gun. He just seems like he's built for playoff hockey. I think Ovi's going to have an absolute series.
I think he's going to torch Montembeau.
Yeah, I just think this Montreal decor is way too inexperienced. Lane Hutson, great player, probably the rookie of the year, but
nonetheless a rookie.
Yeah, exactly. Not much experience. Same with Caden Gooley, Jaden Struble. I think they're all going to be really good players in the coming years, but I just don't know if it's their year. I do think it will be a 2-2 series after four games, because I think Montreal is going to win both games at the Bell Center. That place is absolute nails. I love it. But and I think Caulfield, Suzuki, Slafkovsky, I think that line is going to have a good series. They're just too good offensively. I think Demidov will be an X factor. If he puts up points like I think he can put up, could maybe push to seven games, then in game seven, you never know what's going to happen. But I just think the experience and the way the teams are built, I think Washington's going to take it.
Absolutely. Yeah. Washington across the board.
I will say, though, I can't see Montreal just catching fire, Montembeau standing on his head, and they upset. I can't see that.
Really?
100%.
That would be kind of crazy, honestly.
They have the high-end skill to do it.
They do. It would have to just be an offensive series.
Shootout.
And they win it.
The one thing about Washington is they might have peaked at the Ovi goal chase. I highly doubt it, but that could be something that comes to bite them back in the ass.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I could see that as well. And I think players to watch in this series for me is the rookies, honestly. Ryan Leonard, Lane Hudson, and Ivan Demidov. I think Leonard is built for playoff hockey, like he said. Just big kid wants to go out there and hit things, and he's going to be following Tom Wilson's lead, I think. And then Demidov for the skill, obviously, coming over from the KHL. And Lane Hudson to see, is he really the real deal on defense? Like, people are voting him for Norris, and I don't know. I don't know if he'll be able to defend in playoff hockey, so we'll see how he handles that.
Yeah, I agree. This one might be one of the least interesting series, but nonetheless very interesting, obviously, because for the reasons you said, a lot of rookies who could prove their potential. A lot of upsets could happen in this one for sure. Montreal is absolute buzz city, so you never know what can happen at the Bell Center.
Yeah. One player I want to shout out from Washington, who I think, if he comes back and if he plays, big if, Lexi Protas. I think this Belarusian psycho is so good. And
very good.
He's going to be good for a long time. He's like, what, 6'6"?
Just a...
Jeez!
He's huge.
Big and, man, can move very fast.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he knows how to put the puck in the net at even strength, which is major plus in the playoffs. And Capitals are going to be set up good for a while because they also have his brother drafted who just tore up the OHL this year.
Yep.
So I'm excited for him to get in the league with his brother, Alexi.
Groovy. Capitals sitting pretty. I like it. And then we get to the Hurricanes and the Devils. I like this matchup because you got the Hurricanes, 99 points, potential to win their 48th game tonight. Then the Devils, 91 points on the year. They got 42 wins right now. They also have one of my favorite players, Nico Hischier. Gentlemen, Nico Hischier, who are we going with?
This one for me is going to Carolina pretty easy. I think New Jersey's pretty banged up. And from hearing Garrett talk about Markstrom and fantasy hockey over the last couple weeks, sounds like every time Garrett needs a win from him, he just blows it. So I'm not very high on the Devils, especially with Jack Hughes being out. I think this one is, I think this one's going to Carolina in, I'd say, six games.
Yeah, I would agree with that. The Jack Hughes injury for the Devils is catastrophic. That's obviously a game-breaker type of player. Carolina is just very experienced. They've got those four lines who can absolutely buzz. Deep D-core. And obviously Anderson and Kochetkov in that is a 1-2 punch where you can't really argue the other one in for the other, I guess. So I got Carolina in five, maybe six, most likely five.
Yeah, I think Carolina is going to absolutely whack the Devils, to be completely honest with you. They have the experience. Sebastian Aho is a great player. Seth Jarvis is coming to his own. Jordan Staal is still one of the best defensive centers in the league. Slavin, arguably the best defensive defenseman in the league. X-Factor, I don't think it'll matter in this series because I think regardless, Carolina is going to win. Alexander Nikishin out of SKA in Russia. This kid I've heard some good things about him. He's like 6'4", put up really big numbers. We'll see if he plays, but yeah, the Devils' injuries, and they've just been, they honestly just haven't been a good hockey team since Hughes went down.
Mm.
I've heard Canes in 5 pretty easily.
Yeah, I'd agree. And X Factor I'll throw out there. I mean, not that they need one, but I think it'd be nice for Carolina to see Svechnikov kind of take over some games.
Mm-hmm.
Help them win a little bit, get hot, and get ready for the second round.
Yeah, pretty much. I think New Jersey is just not their year at all.
No.
At all.
Injuries killed them.
Yeah.
I'm also excited to watch Jackson Blake. I think he's going to have a good playoff run.
Yeah. That'll be fun.
I am now realizing that the Devils aren't as good as I thought they were, but I wrote in pen. So, Devils in 7 for Zachary. Yeah, right. Let's get out of the East for now. We'll be back for the second round. We'll get into the West and go into the top. The best team in the NHL with the best goal in the NHL. The Winnipeg Jets, 116 points on the year. I think it might be official. I think their final game might be over. 56 wins.
They are the President's Trophy winners.
They are the President's Trophy winners, and they take on one of Minnesota's bigger rivals, right? The St. Louis Blues? No, they snuck in 96 points. Who's winning this one?
This one's a tough one for me because, I mean, obviously I've been doubting Winnipeg all year, but St. Louis is coming into the playoffs hot, and Hellebuck has recently struggled in playoffs.
Yeah.
Granted, their team hasn't been as good as they are right now going into playoffs. They've been a lower seed every time. But you never know. Bennington had a good run with Team Canada and Four Nations. Maybe he's hot and feeling it and can help steal some games like he did in their cup run long ago. Dylan Holloway had a good year for St. Louis, coming over from the Oilers from offer sheets, and then they also added Snuggerud, who can score. I've seen that in person, and that shot is lethal. So this one, tough for me. I've teeter-tottered on it on a couple different brackets, but I'm going to officially go Winnipeg in 7.
Nice.
Yeah, this one was an interesting series here. St. Louis can go on an absolute run. They did it in 2019 when they were the last team in the league, I believe, at Christmas. They snuck in a playoff spot and won the cup. It was 2019, right?
Yeah.
So, who knows? The same thing could happen here. Snuggerud is going to be an absolute player on that second line with Kyrou and Shen. I think they got two pretty good lines of scoring here, but Winnipeg Jets are just way too deep, and I think Winnipeg sneaks it out. Not sneaks it out. I think they dummy St. Louis in probably 5 or 6. I think Hellebuck is going to have a series. I think Winnipeg is unreal this year, unfortunately.
Yeah, Winnipeg is a wagon. I think this is going to come down to goaltending. Hellebuck, like you guys were talking about, had his struggles in the playoffs against Colorado. But I don't think the Blues are Colorado Avalanche with Nathan MacKinnon in the car. Robert Thomas is coming into playoffs banged up. He got hurt in their last game. It looks like he's going to play, but I don't think he's 100%. If he is healthy, though, he's a sick player that can put up a lot of goals. I think Kyrou's really good. I honestly just really like the Blues team. I think they're lunch pail type of squad. They just got Parayko back. One loss that is really going to hurt him, Dylan Holloway.
See, out?
Yeah. I believe so, at least. But,
sweet, sweet Dylan.
But he had a great year at the top 6. He would probably move Snuggerud down.
If he's out, I switch my answer to Jets at 6.
Dude, I got him off of waivers this year in fantasy.
Yeah, he had a crazy good year. And then the Jets, they're just a really good team. I know Ehlers and Gabe Vilardi both aren't playing right now. I'm not sure when they're going to come back. I'm not that tuned into their injury report. But I think Kyle Connor's going to have a good series. Scheifele's going to have a good series. Their forwards, honestly, I think are slightly overrated, but I still think they're really good. I think their defense is slightly underrated. I think Dylan Sandberg is one of the best, like, emerging defensemen in the league. Minnesota boy, not a big deal. Same with his D-paired Neil Pionk. Just got paid a ton.
Yeah, he did.
Which, I don't know if I like that contract, but that has nothing to do with the playoff predictions.
I thought he was a little overpaid. 6x7 seems like a lot for him, but I guess, I don't know.
Yeah, he'll be making that until he's 36.
Like, is that just there? Jonas Brodin, puck mover, solid defensively? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't like watching the Jets because I don't like the Jets, but I've always thought he was a solid player. I think Dylan DeMello is a solid, just shut down. You know what you're going to get from him. He'll chuck him if he needs to. But Josh Morrissey is their horse. The defense runs through him. And I think Hellebuck is just going to shut the door. He's been outstanding all year. So give me Blues in. Or not Blues. Jets in six.
Definitely. You bought a hiss of that Pat McAfee. Y'all know that clip when he was...
Jimmy Alabama.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking of. But yeah, I'm with you. Jets in six. They're the best team, so.
They should do the Wild Series at last.
Pretty obvious. And you know, you had to fucking say that, Garrett. I was going to do that last, but he's ruined the surprise. Should I do it next now, just to spite him?
No.
Next up, gentlemen. The Avalanche and the Stars. And as I look at the Stars' record, I didn't realize they ended on a 7-game losing streak.
Yeah.
Yikes. Yeah. Avalanche. They didn't pick up a win. So, good for them. In their final game, 102 points for Avalanche, 106 for the Stars. Ooh. Tough matchup here.
Yeah. This one is interesting because Dallas, their forwards are so deep. Like, it looks like their offense is incredibly deep. Dadonov, Steele, and Bork as their fourth line is unreal. Marchment, Duchesne, Seguin as their third line is nasty. Rantanen, Johnson, Jamie Benn, like, and obviously Robertson, Hintz, and Granlund. That's so good. But their defense is just so brutal without Miro Heiskanen. And I feel like Colorado's going to be able to expose that and be able to hem them in the zone. They're not going to be able to break the puck out to those forwards, and they're going to have to rely on Ottinger a lot and structure. And I think Colorado is just too deep and too good for that right now. Mm-hmm. So I got Colorado in seven.
One more thing. I saw on Twitter, Robertson was leaving the last Stars game with like a knee brace or a walking boot, so he's hurt.
Yeah, that is not good.
Not good at all.
Yeah, I think Colorado kind of exposes Dallas's injuries with Heiskanen, Nils Lundqvist. I don't know if he'd even be in the lineup, honestly. Probably not. But also the big one, Robertson. I would say Colorado in six. I think Dallas can steal two at home. That place is Buzz City in the playoffs. But yeah, I got Colorado in six. They're just a very, very deep team. Their defense is insane. Their offense is even better. So give me Colorado in six.
Yeah, I'm kind of in the same boat. Just looking at the Stars' forwards right now, oh my god.
That is so good, dude.
Yeah, and that Marchment Duchesne Seguin line was one of, if not the best line in hockey before Seguin went down.
Yeah.
And then you got Johnson with Rantanen and Ben. I think that line is going to be a problem.
Yeah.
Thank God Jamie Benn's 35. But we'll see what they do with the lines now that Robertson might miss some time.
I do love the Granlund ad. I'm a big Granlund fan. I wanted him at the deadline.
Yeah, I do too. But that defense just stinks.
So
Thomas Harley's sick. He's going to be a really good player for a really long time. Lindell's a good number three guy.
Yep.
But if you can't play those two into the ground, and then your other defenseman, Cody Ceci, Lyubushkin and Dumba.
That is probably one
of the worst right sides in the league.
All three of them are to me equivalent to Zach Bogosian on the Wild.
Yeah.
All three of those are like replacement level players for our Zach Bogosian.
Yeah.
That is terrible to have for all three of your defensemen on the right.
Yeah. And the Avalanche just have the forwards that I think are just gonna abuse that. Like Nathan MacKinnon, one of the best playoff performers of all time.
He's gonna go off.
I think Martin, Natchez, and MacKinnon together are I don't think they're going to be able to handle the speed. Landeskog is going to suit up on the third line, which
that's gonna some juice.
Even with Heiskanen in the lineup, I think them getting Landeskog back is a big of like big enough of a moral boost to where I think it pushes them over the edge. But they don't have Heiskanen. They don't have actually. I think Heiskanen's just the only big name that's hurt. I guess Nils Lundqvist is hurt too. I don't know how long he's
Robertson
out.
Robertson as well.
Robertson. Without those two, I don't see it for Dallas. Ottinger though,
he's gonna
never
steal,
count him out.
He's gonna steal a game or two, and that's why I got them winning three.
Yeah, I got Colorado in six. I think Makar and MacKinnon and Natchez are just gonna rip them apart, to be completely honest. Power play is Colorado's got the advantage. Penalty kill, Dallas does have the advantage, but I just don't see it for Dallas.
Yeah, it's gonna be tough.
Yeah, I think the X factor for Dallas is Ottinger, just because that decor is so depleted. So if Ottinger can play unreal, then Dallas probably will push it to seven, maybe even steal it. I highly doubt it, but it is the playoffs. You never know. So.
No, that's what you gotta love about the playoffs. Anything can happen.
Fuck Dallas.
Yeah, fuck Dallas.
Fuck Dallas. I really hope they I kind of hope they get waxed 4-0, but.
I'd like it.
I like all their players. I just can't stand them.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I got Avalanche in five, and I also, so for all the listeners, it just lightning in the background. How cool would it have been if we were on the Lightning series talking about that? Cool. Maybe we'll get back to that, but yeah, Avalanche all around. With that, and kind of a side note here, I just noticed how atrociously bad the Sharks were this year. Yeah. And 20 wins, only 52 points, end on a 11-game losing streak. A minus 105 point differential. I'm sorry, I just had to point that out.
Like, random Sharks strand.
I was so caught off guard.
Sharks fans are
furious. They were so significantly worse.
Do you believe me if I told you that they were worse last year?
No way.
Yeah, they were terrible last year, but they got Celebrini out of it, and they're going to be so good in a few years. It's not even
funny. I'm sorry to the Sharks, I just had to point that out. But, alrighty, next up, we're into the bottom of the Western Conference bracket. We got the LA Kings taking on the Edmonton Oilers, two teams that got into the 100 points category, and both fell just two games short of 50 wins.
You know, this is a fourth year in a row meeting in the first round.
That's insane.
Edmonton has taken all three.
Oh, well.
One might think They've got to win this one, right? LA's got to win this one, but you're also playing McDavid and Draisaitl in the playoffs, and they seem to just take it up another five levels when it gets to the playoffs, and I'm kind of predicting that same thing happens. McDavid and Draisaitl are going to carry this team probably to the Western Conference Finals, maybe. We'll see, but I think McDavid, big playoff run coming. I got Oilers in seven.
Bang.
I'm on the opposite end of that. I got LA in seven. I think LA's center depth, very two-way type of player center depth with Kopitar, Byfield, and Philip Deneau. So, I don't know. Like you said before, this matchup has gone four times in the first round, past 4 years. And Edmonton just had the luck for the past 4 years. I just think LA squeaks it out this time. I really do.
Wow.
I think they squeak it out, but after that, they're toast.
This is the series I went back and forth on the most, because LA is just so sound defensively, and they're one of the, I think they actually might be the best team on home ice, and they have home ice advantage this year. I think Kopitar, Byfield, Deneau is a crazy good center core, like you were talking about, Ryan. But, like, they don't have McDavid and Draisaitl. Those are the two of the best playoff performers of all time. And after watching what McDavid did in the playoffs last year, I can't see him going out in the first round.
I don't see him, like, letting his team lose. Like, I think he will drag them as far as he can.
But at the same time, the Oilers are so banged up right now. Like, McDavid's injury doesn't matter. He's going to be McDavid. Same with Draisaitl. But Hyman was out. Jake Walman was out. Ekholm's going to miss the entire series.
That is a tough loss there.
Yeah. I mean, I still... And LA has the goalie advantage. Darcy Kemper's been unreal this year. And yeah, Stuart Skinner has been the exact opposite of that. But LA's got a really good centered core, but at the same time, Edmonton's is better.
You can't beat McDavid than Draisaitl.
Yeah, and I think Henrique is a little bit overhated. I think he's a fine 3C, probably better suited as a 4C, but he'll get the job done at 3C.
I don't even mind Janmark down there.
He's always a playoff performer, and they might get Trent Frederick back, who, that guy's an absolute psycho.
Nail gun.
So that could be a game changer. I just, let me look at their special teams. Edmonton's got the major advantage in the power play. Like, major.
Edmonton?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But LA's penalty kill is a good. Like, it's a lot better than Edmonton's, too. It's almost 4% better. But I think Edmonton just owns the Kings.
The one thing that swayed my decision to LA in 7 is the depleted decor on Edmonton. Yes, I'm using that word again because I just figured it out. Walman and Ekholm, two brutal losses. I mean, after that, they have Bouchard, who's nasty offensively, not good at all defensively. Darnell Nurse, he's all right. Brett Kulak, he's all right. So they just kind of have middle lineup type of players on the decor there. So I think that LA's deep offensive core can just grind them out and then beat them in 7.
Another thing that the Oilers might get is Evander Kane. Ooh, that guy, I don't know how much he'll do on the offensive side of things, but he'll muck it up. He'll provide value. And if he doesn't, just healthy scratch him. He's been out of the lineup all season.
He'll be a good ad.
Yeah, so.
This does sound like a good series, Jeff.
It's going to be a very interesting series. It's very, very interesting.
Yeah, it'll be very good.
I got Oilers in 7 as well. I like that.
Huge rivalry between these two teams as well, so expect a lot of bodies to get banged up, a lot of fights.
Mm-hmm. Alrighty. Well, let's not delay it any longer, as it is, of course, the Minnesota Wild back in the Stanley Cup playoffs. And to our dismay, we have to play the 50-win, 110-point Golden Knights. So, gentlemen, what are our thoughts on that? Ryan, I'll take it to you.
I'm going to be very biased, I'm not going to lie. I'm taking Minnesota in 7. Obviously, Minnesota has a very good team. Vegas does as well. Vegas is unreal. Jack Eichel is crazy good. Their decor is insane. But I have to add a little bit of bias. Minnesota has to end the streak of losing in the first round after year after year after year. I'm taking Minnesota in 7.
Woo! Yes, sir, Ryan!
Looking at it now, it looks like our offensive core has been spread out a little bit with Rossi on the third line with Foligno and Nyquist. That second line is very questionable. Johansson, Goudreau, and Zuccarello,
They've been having good games recently, though.
They have been. I don't love it still. But, yeah, I also don't love it. That first line is obviously a game-breaking line, which can take over a game. But on the flip side, Vegas is very deep, very nasty. They could easily take this series in 5-6 games. But with bias included, I'm taking Minnesota in 7.
Yeah, I'm looking at Vegas's line chart here, and their forward core is kind of like Dallas, but a little more on the physical versus skill side. And Dorofeev came out of nowhere, scored a ton of goals this year. I'm not sold on Brandon Saad on their team, but, I mean, they got one of the best bottom sixes in the league. Their defense is absolutely stacked. Aiden Hill, cup-winning goalie, played for Team Canada. I mean, they're just a stacked team, but, like, Wild in 7. I mean, look at this team. How can you not love it, guys?
Yeah, Terrell baby!
Ekpoli on the first line, Wild like, that seven. Is beautiful. Mojo, Freddie, and Zuccarello. I would like that more as a third line. They've been having good games recently, but it's just not an ideal second line in NHL playoffs. I do think one good advantage we have is with how injured we've been all year, we have multiple different line combinations that we know have worked in the past. So like I could see us, if this lineup doesn't work, Rossi and Zuccarello move back up with Kirill. We rock Ek, Boldy, and maybe Foligno, and then go Mojo, Freddie, and Nyquist, because those three have played together too. So like I think we have versatility in our lineup. And then I honestly kind of like Trent and Hartman, Brazo. I think those two on the wing are going to pick it up. I think they're going to pick it up in the physical department to come playoff time and really help us out. And then obviously adding Zeev Bouyum on defense, I think it's going to boost our power play. And on top of that, it's just going to add an element that Vegas hasn't seen yet from our team, which is insane offense from the blue line. And honestly, watching our team all year, we love sending the puck low to high and having our defense shoot it. And he's just, I think he might tuck a couple in playoffs. Wild in seven, baby. Homer pick, though.
Yeah.
For sure, yeah. Turn up that more, they could definitely just take it to us and beat us in five, but I think we're a grindy team and we'll figure it out.
Yeah, my bias pick is Wild in seven.
Yeah!
That's the one I have on my... on one of my brackets. But the realist in me, because we need at least one person being a realist.
Yeah.
I think Vegas is gonna whack us. Their center core, we just cannot match up to them, because in their first line, if any line's gonna shut down Kirill, Boldy, Ek, it's gonna be Mark Stone, Eichel, Barbashev. Like that's a line that can do it all. They can score, they can defend, they'll hit you. Barbashev might bite your kneecap off.
Stone could lock up Kirill. They're on the same side.
Yeah, and they've got that experience. And their center core, Eichel, Hurdle, Carlson, and Waugh. I think that's how you say it, Waugh, not yeah. Roy.
That's one
of the best center cores in the entire league, 1-4. I do think I like the Wild's winger depth. I think Kirill is the better player than Stone. Granted, they're two different players.
Yep.
I think Boldy takes Barbashev, and just the lines 2-4, I just like our wingers and what they bring as opposed to Vegas's, but Vegas has that experience. They got that culture.
They've won before.
Yeah, their defense is sick. I think both of the defense cores match up pretty well.
Yep.
I'm a little bit concerned about Faber, because he's played so much hockey and it seems like he's getting burnt out. Yep. But I do like that Bouyum's going to hopefully take over the power play and Spurgeon will be on PP2, give Faber a bit of rest that he desperately needs.
Yep.
And then another thing I'm concerned about is Filip Gustavsson's burnout stage. Because the Wild rode him into the sunset.
This is kind of the first year that he's been like a start, like certified starter, and he played four nations against, you know, the top guys in the league. So
yeah,
burnout, there's potential there.
Yeah, and the biggest concern I have, special teams. Vegas is a million times better than the Wild on special teams. Their power play, I think, is first or second in the league, something like that. It's clicking at 28% against our putrid penalty kill of 72%.
We've been climbing, though.
Yeah, I will say Vegas's penalty kill isn't that much better. They're at 75.6, and with Bouyum being on the Wild power play, you never know.
And Kirill and Ek back.
Yeah, unfortunately, I saw a stat today that Vegas was the first team in NHL history to take under 200 penalties season. So I don't anticipate the Wild getting many power plays.
I can totally see that. I feel like that's how it went last time we played them. I feel like we didn't get many calls either.
Yeah, it's always our special teams, but hopefully that'll fix itself.
You know, the league wants Vegas too.
Yeah.
It's not our time yet.
No, I think the Wild will sign some free agents, hopefully one of Besser, Ehlers, sign our young guys. Then next year is when we start to kick tires on contending.
Agreed.
Mm-hmm. Wild and seven.
Wild and seven.
Wild and seven. I absolutely love it. That does conclude our first round predictions. Now, I'd just be curious, for viewership, if you guys could rank from maybe most exciting to least exciting these eight series to watch, where would you guys put the top series and maybe the, you can check out of this one?
I know who I'm putting at number one right away.
I think my number one is honestly going to be I'm going to go Battle of Florida number one.
Yeah, that's mine too, 100%.
There's history there. There's lots of physicality there. And it's going to be a great matchup. Two really, really good teams, cup contenders of the East for sure.
Yeah, that's my number one too. That just because that series could go either way, that's must-see TV for sure. I think number two, I'm putting LA and Edmonton just because I think that series is going to be very close as well. That one could be in contention with Dallas, Colorado, but
that was who I had it to, is Dallas, Colorado. So I think there would be a lot of offense in that series, and there's some history there. They've met in the playoffs before. Again, just two really good teams.
Yeah, I just think LA and Edmonton is going to be a lot better of a series because of Colorado's injuries or Dallas's injuries. So, but that could be interchanged with Colorado Dallas at three as well.
At my number two, I got the Battle of Ontario. I am hyped for that one.
That's my number three.
I think, and also if the Leafs lose, the meltdown on Twitter is going to be hilarious. I'm just going to be sitting back eating popcorn, just scrolling tweets for hours. I'm really excited to watch Brady Tkachuk in the playoffs after watching what he did in Four Nations. So I got them at number two. I actually have LA and Edmonton number four. I just don't really like watching LA much. Nothing against the team. I just think they're a little boring.
Yeah, I got Battle of Ontario at three, Toronto versus Ottawa. I think just big physical matchup. Some old rivalry there, old history. And then LA and Edmonton at four. I mean, you got McDavid, but I'm with you. I don't really like watching LA for some reason. I don't know what it is. I just don't like watching them.
I think they're very defensive, and I mean it's the same reason the Wild are boring
because
we're defensive and we didn't have a star before Kaprizov.
Yep. Now we got him.
I was gonna say it's tough because all of these could easily be number one just because all of these teams are so good and so deep they could all make a run. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's really hard to rank them.
Yeah, good slate of series in the first round this year.
Yeah. Vegas and Minnesota would round out my top five because A, Vegas, good team. B, Wild, good team. We have Kuro, we got Bouillon, and obviously it's my team, so they're going to be my top five.
But those
are my other good series. Yeah. Four.
I think the Wild are actually being heavily underrated going into this series. It just sucks that we're playing Vegas out of all the teams.
Yeah, agreed.
I don't know if I would have rather played them or Colorado. But actually, we wouldn't have even been able to play Colorado, so them or Winnipeg. I probably would have rather played Winnipeg. But, I don't know. When the Wild were healthy, we were a top five team in the entire league.
That is true.
So,
and we're healthy.
Yeah, if we can catch fire, the only issue with that is Kirill typically needs to run like a pretty long runway. Like, he starts seasons typically slowly,
yeah,
and then he heats up, so hopefully he has a big enough runway under him.
Yeah.
But, yeah. And then, outside of my top five, I got Winnipeg versus St. Louis at number six, Washington versus Montreal at number seven, and then New Jersey versus Carolina at number eight.
The same. Mm. And all three of those are interchangeable for me. They're all just kind of on the more boring side, least interesting. Honestly, I might move Montreal and Washington up just for the Russians. You got Ovi and you got Demidov. I'll put that at six.
Yeah, I just think...
Otherwise, meh. I don't care as much for those.
The Devils-Carolina series would be good if the Devils were healthy.
Agree.
But they're not. So,
yeah.
Yeah, agree.
All right. Gonna be a fun first round. A lot of stuff. But all first rounds come to an end, much like life. It moves on, and we're on to bigger, better things in the second round. If you guys didn't know, almost over 30 minutes ago, maybe even close to the 40, we discussed the Maple Leafs and the Tampa Bay Lightning for three of us advancing. But who we're going to start with actually had the Panthers advancing. Yep.
And I'm going to have the Panthers advancing again over Toronto.
Wow!
I was a fan. I love watching them in playoffs. I've said this before. I love the way they play. I do like watching Toronto, too. They have a lot of skill. They're a fun team to watch. When it comes to playoff hockey, that seems to be the Panthers' bread and butter of recently. And I do think that they'll make it to the second round after making it to the finals the last 2 years. I think they're back, they're back in the conference finals, I should say. So that's me. I got Panthers moving on over Toronto.
Look at that.
I've got Toronto moving on over Tampa. I really think it's the year for Toronto to go far. They're very deep offensively. Defensively, they're pretty good. They're okay. But I think their X factor, like you were saying, Garrett, earlier, was Stolarz. He's nasty, and he can absolutely take over a game. I just think that the star power on Toronto eventually outmatches the star power on Tampa, and they get it done in 6 or 7.
Yeah, see, I'm going to disagree. I got Tampa over Toronto. Sure. I think Tampa matches up with Toronto so well. Like, they both got the high-end talent, but the Tampa Bay talent's proven. They've done it before with that same group. And honestly, I just like Tampa's depth better. I think if the top lines are going at it, not, like, very tight checking, they're not producing much, I would trust Tampa's bottom six, middle six to contribute more than I would trust Toronto's, just based on their playoff history. And I also like Toronto's defense depth better, but I like Tampa's high-end talent on defense better. I think McDonough and Hedman rinse whoever Toronto throws out. And goalies, I can't bet on. Yeah. Bet against
goalies are tough.
But honestly, I told Jaden earlier, I think whoever wins Battle of Florida is coming out of the East.
Yep, that's exactly what I have.
But yeah, I mean, those are all very fair points. My thing is that Matthews is just too good not to go to the dance. And I think this year, the moves that Tampa or that Toronto made at the deadline, bringing in Carlo, bringing in some depth pieces like Lawton, I think this is the year that they go to the dance. Like I said, Matthews is just too good not to go. Same with guys like McDavid, Dreisaitl, Pastrnak, I think, is eventually going. Kirill Kaprizov, but yeah, that's my reasons for Toronto.
Yeah,
I'm with you. The Maple Leafs in 7 for Zachary. Why? No, what? No, no reason. I just make the prediction.
It does suck that Bjorkstrand's out, though. That could change things. Because he's good for like 2025 a year.
Mm-hmm. Good depth scoring piece for Tampa. Mm-hmm.
Good high-level matchups. And that brings us to the second Eastern second-round matchup between the Capitals and, be it the Hurricanes for everyone but Zach, who picked the Devils for some reason. But don't worry, I'm just going to throw it out right there. I'm Capitals in 4.
You're throwing Caps in 4 over Carolina?
No, over the Devils.
All right.
I don't know how they wound up there.
So for Washington and Carolina, this is a tough one for me because I don't really know how to feel about Washington, and I know how Carolina plays in the playoffs. They play tight structure and good defense. But Washington's team is so deep, and honestly, like, after going back and looking at it, I want to change the pick that I wrote down, and I want to say that Washington is taking this one.
Oh.
They're a big playoff team, and I think this could be maybe leading towards Summer of OV Part 2, especially after the high he's had for scoring or taking the goal-scoring record. I think he's going to be chasing that Stanley Cup high, and I think he's going to drag this team a little further than I thought originally.
Alrighty.
Washington in 7 over Carolina.
Yeah, I'm in total agreement with that. Washington's very deep. Their goaltending is unreal. Although I think who's their goalie that just got injured? Thompson.
Yeah, and he's their starter for most of the year.
Yeah, that's unfortunate. But Lindgren could step in and he could Thompson was doing. Obviously, he's not going to be as good, but Washington's just a very good, deep, sound team who can score, grind the corners, play every play every facet of the game. So I have Washington in 7 as well.
Yeah, I got Carolina in 6.
Ooh!
Carolina in 6.
I value their experience a lot. Gaping hole of second line center, which I'm not thrilled about, but
you know, I think Kanyemi.
No, I think he's brutal. But first line center, Carolina's got the best player, Sebastian Aho. I think Svechnikov will figure it out. He always does pretty decent in playoffs. I really like the addition of Taylor Hall for depth scoring. Mm-hmm. Really like that pick. I think Nikishin's going to step in and have himself a good series. Goaltending, I think it's a wash either way. And I just like, I don't think the Caps have the high-end speed and talent needed to get by Carolina's like stingy defense.
I think they got the forecheck, though.
They do, but so does Carolina. Like, I think they play similar styles, and I think Carolina's going to play it better just because they've done it so much. But I could absolutely... I don't want to, like, just shit on the Caps the entire time because I think they could absolutely win this series still. But I just think Carolina's got a date in the conference finals to get swept again.
I like it.
Because I do have Tampa sweeping.
Alrighty.
I like it.
Good stuff. Well, I say just for sake of momentum, we'll... say right now who we think's representing the East in the Stanley Cup. And for Zachary, it's none other than Alexander Ovechkin and the Capitals.
Oh, another point that I wanted to bring up. Oh, wait, they didn't win the President's Trophy. Never mind, that doesn't matter then.
No, it does not.
Good point, Garrett.
I got Washington as well going.
You got Washington going to the East. I got Florida beating Washington in the conference finals to go to the finals again, third year in a row. I love Florida's team, and like Garrett and I talked about, I think whoever wins Battle of Florida comes out of the East, so sticking to it, it could just as easily be Tampa, like Garrett's probably going to say here.
Yeah, I got Tampa sweeping the hell out of Carolina. It's inevitable.
All right.
Look at that. Tampa Bay, Washington, and
Florida.
Straight up Florida. If you could, where do you think if the Florida Panthers were to choose a city, what would their name be then?
Probably Miami.
Yeah, well, they're
the Miami Panthers.
Yeah, well, they're either in Miami or Lauderdale.
Lauderdale Panthers?
Lickerdale Panthers.
The Lickerdale Panthers.
Sometimes the name isn't always like where their arena is.
True.
It's like, doesn't have to, because I know it's not like in Miami, but I was just thinking like South Florida, like who else is over there? The Heat,
Tallahassee Panthers,
in Miami.
The Jets, where their rink is.
New York Jets, and New York Giants play in New Jersey, so
yeah, like there you go.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Oh, the South Beach Panthers,
oh, it's in Sunrise, which is a town just west
the Sunrise Panthers,
Fort Lauderdale,
look at that,
and just north of Miami. So it's like kind of in the middle.
I see where they sell them, Florida. Alrighty, let's head to the West. The Jets, the Avalanche. Unless someone picked the Stars and Blues. And
I don't know. I got Jets and Avs. This one goes pretty easy for me. One team has Nathan MacKinnon and Cale Makar, and the other one doesn't. So I think Colorado goes, you know, they've been hot in playoffs recently. I love watching MacKinnon. He's a horse out there. I think their team is pretty deep. I like the moves they made. I like Charlie Coyle. I like Martin Natchez. Nichushkin's back. He's gross. Lekkonen did just get hurt, I think. But I think this team's pretty deep and has the experience. Has won the cup. I do like Blackwood. I've always thought he could turn out to be a good goalie. And they won with Kemper in the past when he was having eye issues. So I just think this team is deep enough and has been on the runs. I like the Lindgren add on defense. They still have Gerard, Devontaes, Manson, obviously Makar. They're getting Landeskog back. I just think this team's destined for a good run here. And I got them beating Winnipeg in 6.
Nice.
Yeah, I would completely agree with all that. I mean, obviously gives them a huge advantage. I think Winnipeg's going to put up a pretty good fight, especially if Hellebuck can stand on his head. But I just think Colorado has the star power to kind of just shit on Winnipeg, honestly. I got Colorado in six.
Connor Hellebuck, I don't give a fuck. He's a schmuck. Abs in five.
Bang. I like it.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Like it. Beautiful abs in six for me. So.
Beautiful analysis.
Thanks. Hard-hitting, I know.
The Lakers in five. I got that.
Hell nah. T-Wolves in seven.
All right, and then the bottom of the Western Conference, we have the Wild versus the Oilers for me.
Oof, this is...
this might take a little bit.
This is a tough one. Not really. I mean, as much as I want to be a homer, I think McDavid... Like, the more I think about it and think back to watching them last year, McDavid and Draisaitl are so good in playoffs. And I think that if they get out there at all against the Freddie Gaudreaus, Marcus Johansson, Zuccarellos, the slower forwards of the Wild, and our defense, if we get injured whatsoever on the back end and we're deploying Merrill and Bogosian, Chisholm, granted that's an if, I just think that they're going to be able to dominate anyone other than Ek, Brodin, and Spurgeon, and I don't know that we're going to be able to line match them that good. They're going to have home ice over us, so they got more games where they can line match. And I just think that they're going to be able to torch most of our players with their speed and their skill. So I got the Oilers in six. And that's where the realist in me comes out. I love how we play them, but we have never seen anything like playoff McDavid, and I just don't know that we're the team that's going to be able to shut that down.
Yeah, well, for me, I had Minnesota playing LA. I'm taking Minnesota in six. I think LA is going to absolute war with Edmonton in round one. So I think they're just going to piss their pants a little bit too early. LA is obviously a very deep team, so they could balance the shifts out, keep the boys fresh. But I just think the star power with Kirill, Ek, Boldy on that first line. I mean, LA has good players, but they don't have a first line like that. And they do have very good defensive lines, but I just see the first line of Minnesota taking over here, and I also think Bouillon is going to do some wonderful things for us.
Yeah, I picked Vegas, but I want to talk about the Wild playing the Oilers. I honestly, assuming our D-core is healthy, I think we could beat the Oilers. I don't know if we will, but whenever we play the Oilers, Brodin's got McDavid in jail. Obviously, they still have Draisaitl, but our top four is going to be in a lot of ice time, and I do not like the Edmonton defense. I think Kirill, Ek, and Boldy are going to pick them apart. If we go back to Kaprizov, Rossi, Zuccarello, and then, say, Foligno, Boldy, Ek, I think those are two good scoring lines that can also defend. I just really like how we match up with Edmonton, so I would pick the Wild if I picked them, but I didn't. I picked Vegas, and I think Vegas is going to pump Edmonton. They're too good defensively, and Edmonton doesn't have the depth like Vegas has.
They really don't.
Vegas has a better goalie, better defense. I'd give the forwards to Edmonton just because of 97 and 29, but special teams, Vegas has a better power play. Their penalty kills are close. And I just don't like how Edmonton defends. I'm not a fan of their goaltending. I got Vegas at six.
Making me question my pick, Garrett. Whoops. But at the same time, when you talk special teams of the Oilers versus special teams on the Wild,
that is the issue.
Their power play is going to do some heinous acts to our penalty kill.
Yeah.
Like, McDavid and Draisaitl are going to be snapping that thing around so goddamn hard. We are not going to be able to respond. And, I mean, our power play is good. I don't know how good their penalty kill is, but it seems like the Wild's main killer in playoffs is our special teams, and I think that's where Edmonton's going to be able to beat us in our series.
Yeah. I don't know if the Wild would beat Edmonton. I just think there's a very clear path to beating Edmonton. But McDavid and Draisaitl can just shut that down so fast and make me look like an idiot. So
I think it's possible, but for the sake of having a somewhat accurate bracket, I'm going Oilers.
Pretty good. I've given up on accurate bracket. I have the Wild winning, but
hell yeah.
I do like Garrett's thoughts on the Golden Knights. I know they've always been very good every year.
Correct.
Well, we've all got our Eastern Conference champion. Who's everyone's Western Conference champion?
So my matchup is between Colorado, Edmonton, and I think this is going to go similar to how it did in the past, and I have Colorado beating Edmonton. I think it'll be in seven. Again, I am assuming a big playoff run for McDavid and for McKinnon. And I think the depth of Colorado is going to be able to overwhelm Edmonton's lack of depth. And I still think McDavid's going to be able to do McDavid things. But ultimately, in the playoffs, you need depth. And I think Colorado's got it. So I got Colorado versus Florida in the finals.
All right.
I had Colorado, Minnesota. I think Minnesota's going to get waxed in this series. Minnesota doesn't have the depth to be able to put up three solid series in a row like Colorado can, and eventually four if they're going to the Cup Finals. I just think Colorado's going to wax Minnesota. I mean, their star power is insane. Their depth is insane. Their goalie could probably be pretty solid. And I think all of their lines outmatch all of our lines. Unfortunately. But yeah, I got Colorado in probably five.
Yeah, so I had Vegas, Colorado. This is a tough, tough series. I think I'm going to go Vegas. I think Nichushkin's going to hop on the bag and get suspended again. Nah, actually, but I just think this could go either way. This series is going seven. But I just...
A lot of indecision I'm sensing here.
Yeah, I like... Part of this is bias because I just like Vegas more than I like Colorado. I hate Colorado. But I really like Eichel and Stone on a line together. And honestly, I think this series is going to come down to who's healthier.
Yeah, I can totally see that.
And I also don't know how Landeskog is going to play. He hasn't played hockey since the last time the Avs won the Cup, which was three seasons ago. So he might suck. He might get hurt again.
You never know.
And I think the Avs are more banged up coming into it. So if they go through war with Dallas and then war with Winnipeg, like, that's a gauntlet to come out of.
It is.
So, I think I picked Vegas in my bracket. So, I think I'm going to go Vegas in seven.
All right.
But that series could go either way. I cannot give a decisive answer.
Yeah, the West is just absolutely stacked.
It's a gauntlet.
Yeah.
Man, that's good, though. It provides exciting matchups. Like when the Wild beat the Avalanche to advance to the Stanley Cup Finals.
Yes, we will. Yes, we will. We do have a favorable path to the finals, I think. It'll be a grind no matter what, but I do think that they have a chance at getting there. It would just be an absolute grind.
Yeah.
We're in the best spot that we could be out of any other matchup, I think. I think this is the path I would want.
Yeah. Yeah, it'll be tough. But
yeah.
We'll see.
It'll be tricky, but there's two teams in the Cup. But only one team can hoist it. Who's winning the 2025 Stanley Cup playoffs?
So, my matchup comes between the Avalanche and the Panthers. And last year, I had the finals right. I called it again, a rematch.
Yeah, you did.
If you recall, I had Vegas and I had Florida. And I also called Florida Panthers winning the Cup.
Yeah?
And I'm going to double back. And I'm going to say we have back-to-back Cup champions,
whoa,
the Florida Panthers,
okay,
beating the Avs in seven. We just talked about the gauntlet of the West. I think they're going to be banged up coming out of there. Granted, the East, Florida plays a banged-up
style of hockey, but
I think that's what they excel at and are better at, and I think they're going to come out on top. Yeah. 7 games, we're going to get plenty of hockey for the finals in June, and Cup's going back to Florida.
Yeah. Hold on, did you say that you predicted the finals right last year, too?
Yes, sir.
Vegas and Florida?
Yes, sir.
It wasn't Vegas.
Fuck. I didn't know that, so you had me fooled.
I thought I had it.
Yeah, so I got Washington, Colorado. I think there's just way too much dark magic going on around Washington for them not to win the Cup. So I got Washington beating Colorado in 7 games. Colorado has to go through gauntlet in the West, obviously. They're a deep enough team to be able to go through it, prevail, and put up a good performance in the Cup Finals. But I think Washington is just summoning something very evil. Very evil.
Oh.
Black magic from Kansas City is made its way to D.C.
Yeah. The District of Columbia is a notoriously terrible area, so, in regards to what they do behind the scenes. So they're summoning something. Give me Washington in 7.
Right. I like that. So mine was Vegas and Tampa, and I think this is going to be an absolute barn burner of a series. I got Tampa winning in, I'm going to say 6. Part of that is because I think they're going to get Bjorkstrand back because I saw that he was week to week and it's a playoff, so he's going to play before he's healthy. Mm-hmm. Goaltending, Tampa's got the advantage. High-end forward talent, Tampa's got the advantage. I like their winger depth better. Vegas has a better decor, in my opinion. But I don't think it's that much better than Tampa's to where it puts them over the edge for me. They got the same amount of goals against per game. Tampa's got 0.3 more goals per game. Tampa's got slightly better special teams, a significantly better penalty kill, which I think could come into play. Vegas' kill isn't very good. But yeah, I think Tampa's going to cement themselves as a dynasty. This core, I think, is going to go down as one of the best cores of all time, similar to the early 2010s Blackhawks. And I think we're going to see Kucherov get hammered for an entire summer again. Wow. I love the Russians getting hammered.
Summer of Kuch.
That's what's so great about this year's playoffs is all of our predictions could be 100% accurate, and you just never know.
Mm-hmm. A lot of different matchups.
Yeah.
A lot of different matchups. I was going to pick the Capitals, and then you mentioned Dark Magic, and I don't like dark magic. So give me the Wild win the Stanley Cup championship.
Oh my gosh, why not? Summer Faber in Minnesota.
Why
that'd
not?
Be awesome.
Boys are cheer. But yeah, I mean, that's almost crazy. We all worked our way to the end of that. Different champions.
Yeah, got parity. One of us.
Statistically, 50%. One of us should predict a champion.
You got
correctly.
The Wild. What do you got, Kerry?
Tampa.
Tampa, and you got
Washington. Florida.
This will be the year like the Leafs win and we're all just brutally wrong.
I'm fucking done betting on the Leafs in the playoffs. I think they're going to beat Ottawa, but I don't trust them going far.
Actually, my one last question I will say is, going back to just the first round quickly, what is a matchup that almost everyone has locked in for someone winning where you can definitely see an upset taking
Battle
place?
Battle of Florida.
Would there be an upset there?
Are you saying,
that's
like,
just one
I can
see going.
Consensus?
Like, let's say, like, for me, like, if the Canadians beat the Capitals, I would be dumbfounded.
Yeah, that'd be an upset.
Yeah, I could see the Canadians doing it.
Okay.
I think that's a potential upset pick. If the Devils were healthy, then...
I guess I'd pick the Devils.
Ottawa would be an upset.
If Hellebuck plays like he did last year, I could see the Blues.
Ottawa, definitely. I don't see anyone having Ottawa going far.
Besides Ottawa fans.
I could absolutely see Toronto losing.
Really?
100%. I can see Toronto losing to my Bantam B2 team that I coached this year. If it's in a playoff series, they're going to lose it.
Yeah. Ooh, Tim Stutzel. Beauty of a goal tonight. Just popped on the timeline. Checking for some quick news. Big news. Former Maverick Sam Morton has made his NHL debut tonight for the Calgary.
Nice! Let's go!
Yeah. That's
Fantastic.
Skyler Brindamore, first NHL goal with his dad on the bench.
That's pretty sweet.
Worse, you know, this is all amazing to hear.
Four debuts for the Flames, too. First NHL games, yeah. Looks like Zane Parak was one of them, too. I don't know who the other guys were. It doesn't say, but...
They finally put in Zane Parak.
I think so, yeah.
They should have put him in a long time ago. I think he's going to be sick.
Ooh, yeah.
Well, it was fun making these brackets, boys. I mean, I appreciate the knowledge. I appreciate all the insights into a field I'm not experienced in.
Of course, man.
So my final thing is, what would be some final statements in any regard each of you want to give before we depart?
Billy Guerin, if you're listening, bring in my boy Brock Besser. We need some top six scoring help. He will be way better than Mojo. Bring him on. And also my boy Ryan Neihardt over here is looking for an internship.
Yeah, he is.
If you could give him a seat in your front office, he would love to occupy it and pick your brain. And become the next GM, your successor, after you win us multiple Stanley Cups. That's all I gotta say.
Yeah, I would absolutely appreciate the heck out of that. I just wanted to say one word to John Ledecky, New York Islanders owner. Please fire Lou Lamoriello and start something else there, because that boy is not it. He's way too old to make decisions for himself. I think you guys gotta completely just turn it upside down and restart. Don't mean to put your boy on blast, but he is just not it anymore. He's awful.
Random Islander strain.
Tell him how you really feel.
Yeah, well...
hasn't been mentioned all episode.
I'm really just saying that because I feel like I could do a lot better job than he's doing, so...
Hell yeah. That's what I
gotta say.
Confidence.
Only thing I gotta end with, Wilder are gonna be a wagon starting next year. Absolute wagon.
Minnesota Wild Cup champs, 2029.
Yep, and Booyam's third or fourth year we're winning.
Yep, similar to Makar.
Yep.
Hey, it'll be due. Championships are coming to Minnesota.
My future bet is already placed.
And Anthony Edwards and the T-Wolves will win in the same year. We're going to be one of those cities where the Vikings are also going to win. The state of Minnesota's championships are on the way. We finally have superstars on the team.
And the Twins are still going to be terrible.
Unless we get new ownership, which should be soon.
I mean, realistically, Wild and T-Wolves both win same time. St. Paul and Minneapolis could burn down simultaneously.
It's going to be like when Boston won in every major sport. That's what Minnesota's going to get. We're going to win in every major sport.
Boston needs to stop winning. The Patriots so long, and the Celtics, and the Bruins. And
think about how due we are. We finally have superstars, and it seems like we're building the right pieces around in each sport besides baseball.
Yeah, we're doing.
I don't know.
Who cares about baseball?
Jefferson, Edwards, Kirill. We've got our three there. We've got the supporting cast for all of them.
Yeah.
Championships are coming to Minnesota. Sponsored by Jaden Watson.
Got the tools. We just need the toolkit.
Yep. Absolutely, boys. Well, thank you so much for joining me.
Thanks for having me.
And I don't know. This is like, not to get emotional, I don't know the next time we'll all be recording a hockey podcast.
Yeah.
Stuff to say.
I just figured out how to do this. Just wanted to say one last thing. This is a hockey show, ladies and gentlemen. So we appreciate you for tuning in. Thank you for having us, Mr. Ruger.
Yes, sir.
Always, gentlemen. Yeah. And for all the listeners, as always, we'll catch you next time on the Surprise Jab Podcast.